Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Dino Tripodis, and one definition of a lobbyist might be a freak who just hangs out in hotel lobbies. The legitimate definition of a lobbyist, well, that comes under scrutiny as well. We'll find out tonight with our guest, lobbyist Steve Diamond, tonight on Whiskey Business. I'm Dino Tripodis, and welcome to Whiskey Business. As you know by now, the podcast is not so much about whiskey as it is one with whiskey. Now, we are in a political year,
to say the least. It's an election year.
And let me compare the two things. We've said this a thousand times on Whiskey Business. We are not whiskey experts. We are just whiskey enthusiasts. Mm-hmm. And over the course of this podcast over the years, we've developed a certain amount of knowledge over whiskey, but we would never claim to be experts. I would say the same thing about politics. I would never claim to be an expert in anything political. In fact, I think my basic knowledge of politics consists of what I've gleaned over the years from Schoolhouse Rock.
Yeah. Hey, just a bill.
Right? I'm just a bill, only a bill, and I'm sitting here on Capitol Hill. Maybe a little bit more.
Yeah.
Not much.
That's all you need.
But one of the things that makes the world go round are the people that are involved behind the scenes in politics. Mm-hmm. And tonight we have the unique opportunity to talk with Steve Diamond, who will be joining us here in just a little bit.
First of all, best name in town. Steve Diamond.
It's not diamond. Like
what?
Shine like a diamond.
What is it?
Shine like a diamond. No, it's not like it's diamond, D-I-M-O-N.
Diamond.
Like diamond.
Diamond. Like leave the
diamond.
D off.
All right.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Like, you know what? Don't feel bad, though. I thought the same thing.
Like the almonds.
Yeah. Like, yes, like almonds.
Steve Diamond Dog Night.
But he'll be joining us here at the table in just a little bit. Want to get some of the little bit of business out of the way first. Big thanks to Gatto's Pizza.
Gatto's unofficial
pizza. Call them official pizza sponsor because even though Dave DeRoberts isn't here, his son provided us with pizza and sausage
sliders. I'm eating
sliders,
a sausage slider right now.
Sausage sliders. Mm.
What kind of pepperoni is this? Where like they cook into little cups?
I don't know, man, but it's real pepperoni.
Yeah, that sausage slider.
When I was a kid, we went to a place called Cassano's, and that's how it
Cassano's
came out.
Was good. I remember Cassano's in Dayton.
Yep.
Yeah. Gatto's on Indianola Avenue, right there, just north of North Broadway. Beautiful little place over there. Check them out and enjoy a Gatto's pizza. We'll thank them again before the night is out. Do you want to do a little bit of business first before I introduce the guest bottle and then eventually our guest?
That's right. Whiskey Business is the podcast. Not so much about whiskey as it is one with whiskey.
There you go.
Thanks for subscribing on your favorite podcasting app. It really does us a huge, huge favor if you rate and review us if you're on Apple or whatever platform you're subscribing on. Also, word of mouth. You know, if you find us interesting, maybe there's a slim chance you might know us. Someone else that might find us interesting. Maybe.
It's possible. It's happened. Yeah. It's a rarity.
Crazy things have happened.
Yep. None of your stuff has occurred.
We're also on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Whiskey Business with Dino Tripodis. Hit that subscribe button.
Ding, ding.
And smash that bell button. You'll get notifications when we get new episodes.
And comment, please, because it helps with getting out there.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's unedited. I'll shave off a little bit of the podcast
on the audio
to
side.
Clean it up a little bit. But John just lets it roll.
Yeah. I listen to the audio version sometimes when I had a long trip driving.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's really, I'm like, God, you make everybody sound really good.
Thanks.
You really do.
Huh?
Like, you cut out all the times where I'm pausing, like, I don't know what the hell I'm talking about.
Cut you out altogether.
Which is perfect, because it's like, all right, he saved the best.
That's so funny.
It's awesome. I love that.
Oh, man. But I did. I did have the pleasure of being on John and Chip's Star Trek podcast.
That's right. Went very well.
Ago. I had a blast. And
when can we expect it?
It'll be out next week.
I took it seriously. It was
much fun.
I was honored to be included.
Yeah. Thank you. I was honored to have you there.
And then we hung out for a while afterwards.
Yeah, and you hung with the nerds? Nice job.
Yes. Right. Yes, he did.
I drank a little bit too much at the end of the night.
Yeah.
But I was home, so it was good.
Our guest bottle this evening is a TX, Texas Straight Bourbon. This comes from the Firestone and Robertson Distillery. A couple of guys that took over, renovated a Prohibition-era distillery down in Fort Worth, Texas, and started making whiskey.
What's the proof on
this? This proof on this is, what do you think it is? You think it's strong?
I think it's 90.
It is 90. Bravo. Well done, sir. Right. Bravo. Well done. It consists of Texas yellow corn, red winter wheat, a little bit of malt, and yeast from a Texas pecan called the Brazos.
How'd you say pecan?
I'm speaking Chip's language now because we're getting into the intricacies of a pecan.
Pecan.
Pecan. Yeah. New Orleans with that pecan draw.
So, yeah. Okay. This is their whiskey and
pretty good. Cheers.
Give a little taste of it and tell me what you think of it before we bring on Steve, and then he'll have a little say in the matter as well. But okay. The nose definitely has a little pecan to it, and
it goes well with the
has a little pecan pie to it.
With Gatto's pizza so far too.
Pecan pie. Mm-hmm.
What's that from?
Pecan pie.
When Harry Met Sally.
That's right.
Do to say. Pecan pie.
Pecan pie.
Yeah.
It's good.
Just a little one of the things, I was going to say, one of the things that...
is it a rye?
It's, no. It's a straight bourbon whiskey. We say spices, but we've mentioned before, like baking spices. Mm-hmm. You know,
not heat.
Not heat. It's not spicy hot, but spicy, like certain pickup.
It has a little heat, though, too.
A little bit, like,
it makes my
vanilla.
Makes my tongue... skip around a little bit.
A Texas Texas kiss.
Well,
is that what it is?
I don't know what they do down there.
Who you're kissing in Texas?
Okay, it's interesting finish. Interesting finish.
I do get the pecan. Also, like I said, I'm eating pizza, so I've got
Your palate's not the most cleansed one at the moment, but
you must cleanse the
Texas palate. Bourbon definitely different than Kentucky bourbon, but it meets the requirements to be a bourbon.
Red corn or red flour. That would be interesting.
Red winter wheat.
Oh, is that what it is?
And, the Brazos pecan.
Yeah.
Whatever the case might be. But anyway, that is our guest bottle tonight, and it was a gift. It came from one of our coworkers.
Mm-hmm.
It came from Stacy McKay.
Oh, nice.
Very nice.
How'd she pick that out? What was she thinking? What was her thought process?
She tried to find something that she didn't, you know, I'm just going to go get something from another state.
Okay. Something that he's never tried.
Don't have an Ohio. Yeah.
That's the best way to do it.
For sure.
So, do you like it, Chip?
I do like it. It has it's a little burny, like it has a little heat to it.
Well, we'll see what our guest thinks of. Okay. Once again, as I said in the up front, when you say the word lobbyist, for some people, they immediately have contempt, hate, and for some other people, they know that lobbyists do good things and make things happen, so why not get to the bottom of it and actually have a lobbyist on the show? It's Steve Diamond. Thank you so much.
We've clearly hit the bottom.
What is the official title?
Government affairs, government relations, lobbyist.
Mm-hmm.
Depends on who I'm talking to.
It seems very vague. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
very vague.
Yeah, pretty much. I don't. My mother has no clue what I do. So I'm gonna steal your bourbon a little bit here.
Yeah,
this is for me.
Bourbon. Yeah, it's for you. Take a sip of it and tell me what you think. It's our first time trying it as well.
I've been known to like bourbon.
Are you allowed to like Texas bourbon?
I like that. It's nice, smooth.
You think it's smooth?
Yeah, I like that a lot.
Okay,
it's pretty good.
All right.
Do we have enough of it?
As you can see, there's plenty of other whiskey. Yeah. If we run out, we'll switch to something
else.
Anyway,
answer your question. I don't know. Government affairs guy, lobbyist, government relations.
How long have you been doing it?
35 years, maybe.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. I look good.
Okay, what I'm thinking of titling this particular episode of the podcast, right. I let it there go right past you.
Yeah,
right. As I say, you do. You're a handsome man. All right, fine. You're a handsome man.
Just for the stress.
The people listening, we're all good looking guys.
Absolutely.
The people watching.
The stress I'm under is phenomenal.
I'm thinking of a title for this podcast, and one that's crossed my mind was the OG. Of influencers, because let's be honest, before there was social media and what we deem as influencers on social media, lobbyists were pretty much the influencers.
Yeah, and they better still be, actually. But yeah.
You know, when it came right down to it, lobbyists are the ones who go in and fight for something.
Yeah, you know, everyone's got a lobbyist. Everyone does. Teachers, cops, lumbermen, distilleries, cigarette companies. Everyone's got a lobbyist.
Mm-hmm.
So when you hear people, you know, say, oh, they're just horrible people, it's a lousy profession. Yeah, well, what do you do for a living? Oh, you're a teacher? You got one. Mm-hmm. You're an environmentalist? You got one. Everyone's got one.
So what is the perception? Because perception, as the cliche goes, is reality.
Absolute shit. They've been, they think we go and buy people off. We take them to fancy dinners and give them gifts and all that stuff. And all that stuff's illegal, obviously. You can't do that.
Right.
There are limits here in Ohio and other states on how much you can give per quarter, per year. You better know the rules. So you know what you can give and what you can't give.
Mm-hmm.
But if you honestly think that you could buy somebody's vote for a $50 dinner, I don't want that guy's vote anyway. Because I mean, he's going to sell out to you for $51 tomorrow.
Right. Yeah.
So we don't want that guy.
Is there a group that you represent typically, or
yeah, I've been very fortunate over the last 35 years to represent tobacco and alcohol. Got it all.
Okay, you can stop right there.
Right. And life is good.
You're our friend
and
now.
And life is good. Dino and I met.
It's all coming together while he's on the show now.
I do the Motion Picture Association.
Okay.
Motion Picture Association of America. And I've had them for probably 25 or 30 years.
That's nice.
Yeah, I'm not allowed to talk to talent, though. I don't know, it's kind of weird. They keep me in the... in the dark, like a mushroom.
I don't see any around here.
Not in this room, anyway.
But we represent the theaters. We did the video game folks. Do the Michael J. Fox Foundation for Parkinson's research. Handful of manufacturing, oil and gas guys.
Yeah.
So there's, but there, you'll see some like the auto dealers. Ford will have their guy.
Mm-hmm.
Anheuser-Busch will have their guy internally. So and then there's independent guys like me who kind of float around a little bit.
And you made a good living at it for 35 years.
Keeps the lights on.
What did you do something before that as far as a career?
Well, I always joke that it was no marketable job skills. I was a bartender, and somebody introduced me to Greg LeShuck, who was a city attorney at the time.
I remember him.
Yeah, world's tallest mayor also, by the way. Yeah. He morphed into Helmut Kohl was the runner-up.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's, you know, that's Greg LeShuck. I was tending bar, and that's Greg LeShuck. And I said, hey, man, can I talk to you about job opportunities in the city? So he says, yeah, come on down. And after a couple of conversations, he goes, I need a law clerk, and do you want the job? Wasn't in law school, didn't go to law school, still haven't. And so I clerked for Greg and started working on campaigns and worked in the Senate, House Senate for a little bit. And
nice.
Here it is. 35 years later.
What was your first win as a lobbyist, do you remember?
Yeah, we worked for the tobacco guys. And I don't think they have them. I haven't bought a pack of cigarettes in a while. But they still put stamps on the packs? So the wholesalers would stamp their, would apply stamps.
On the plastic, outside plastic?
Yeah, so anyway, and they got
like
to just...
sticker stamps? Or
yeah,
like
sticker.
Like an ink stamp.
Yes to both, depending on how that was cartoned.
I don't know.
So the state tried to take, they got an allowance to For the work they had to put in to collect the tax. Mm-hmm. And somebody thought it'd be clever to take all that allowance away from them, costing these wholesalers a lot of money, like a mutual friend of ours.
Mm-hmm.
So he was not happy about it.
Who's also been on the podcast.
Yes, Gus was not happy about it. So we got it back. So I had been on the job about 6 months and lost it all and got it all back. So that's pretty good. That was a good day.
That was a good day.
Yeah, Gus was happy.
And that was your first?
Yeah, that was the first one. Yeah.
First win as a lobbyist?
Yeah, I started in January of 88 or 89, something
is
like that.
Is it a fight? I mean, like I said, I'm coming into this blind. When you tackle a situation, does it go for months, weeks? Can you wrap something up in a few days?
Nothing gets wrapped up in a few days. We worked on...
It's the politics!
It is. Well, it goes... to the General Assembly schedule. The Senate and the House were never on the same schedule. Currently, as I get to enjoy, as every other lobbyist in town gets to enjoy, Senate and the House are fighting with each other. So the House is going to do anything to help the Senate, and the Senate is not going to do anything to help the House. So we're just kind of sitting in the back of the room twiddling our thumbs. Mm. When you look at it and you go, I actually need something done here.
Right.
I don't care what you guys do over there, but I actually need you to do something. So something we just picked up on, I think I mentioned earlier, is on Michael J. Fox. What we thought was a pretty simple piece of legislation took about 18 months.
18 months. Yeah. What was a simple piece of legislation that took 18 months?
Well, my lead question for Michael J. Fox is, we all know somebody with Parkinson's. Mm-hmm. And if you don't, you do now.
Yep.
And so what we wanted to do, and we've done Nationwide App, is accomplish the same goal for him in South Carolina, was to establish a registry. So we're going to take all of your data, all Dina's data, all my data, collect it at a central collection point here in Ohio, it's the Department of Health, where research facilities such as Michael J. Fox can go in and access that and see if we can pinpoint the commonalities and how did we get here and how do we cure Parkinson's.
You have Parkinson's.
I do have Parkinson's, yeah. I did not have to, it was not a prerequisite to get Michael J. Fox as a client. It was just a coincidence.
And so, you advocate for it, obviously.
Yeah, it's a good cause. I told you earlier, I said my favorite Parkinson's joke, because there's so many, is after 30 years of politics, I'm finally a mover and a shaker.
There you go.
Yeah, you can see that coming. I
am familiar with my uncle. My uncle, who passed away at 88 years of age, had Parkinson's most of his adult life, and led a complete and full fruitful life.
Fun.
What are you gonna do?
Well, right.
What are you gonna do?
Well, it's like your joke. What are you gonna not?
Right. Yeah.
You can joke about it, or you can.
It's a great excuse on the golf course. Why did I miss the putt?
Yeah.
There you go.
Parkinson's.
Yeah. There you go. Come on, that was a gimme, right? That was a gimme.
Why'd I spill the drink? Parkinson's. But Dad, it was the other hand. Send Parkinson's.
Oh, my God. I just remembered that Larry David episode on Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Hilarious.
With Michael J. Fox.
Oh, and the Coke.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
If you've not seen it, watch the 6 episodes of Curb Your Enthusiasm. It is hysterical. It is absolutely hysterical.
I laughed my ass off. Then I can't find life. Should I be laughing?
Right. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Mike's
going to get some. Let's say if you have someone like Michael J. Fox signing off on it, then you're like, all right, we're allowed to laugh.
Yeah. So my favorite Parkinson story is just recently. Ohio, and not to steal the conversation or belabor this, but Ohio had for years recognized September as Parkinson's Month. But nationally, I think it's April. I forget. Anyway, whatever. It's some other time. That wasn't September. So we amended it just to change it so it would line up with the national date.
Right.
So I'm out. It was kind enough. Governor DeWine was kind enough to do a bill signing for us so we can get all, look good in front of the clients and whatnot. And so I'm talking to the governor, doing the pictures. And I said, Governor, I really appreciate the bill signing on behalf of the Michael J. Fox Foundation. This is really important to us. So and he looks at me and goes, he endorsed my opponent.
Thanks, DeWine.
I got nothing on that. Thanks, Governor, very much. Governor's a very nice guy. But he endorsed my opponent. God damn it.
All right.
Moving on, Governor. Good to see you. Merry Christmas.
He's really short. I saw him at a...
No comment.
Hilarious, ladies and gentlemen. No comment. Yeah, he was at a...
known him a very long time.
Yeah, he was at a... I think it was a First Communion that I went to. At Our Lady of Peace, one of his grandkids, and I went because my
your stalker
wife's cousins or kids were there.
Okay, good story.
Getting their first communion. Okay, cut that out. Thank you very much.
You say he's short because you're so much taller than him?
No, I saw him in person though. He's a totally different looking.
Maybe he was
person.
Kneeling at mass.
No.
The pressure of the job kind of beating down.
Yeah, it just weighs you down. I've had the pleasure of meeting the governor as well. He's a nice man.
He's
politics
a very nice
aside,
man.
Was he short back then?
He was still short back then, but I don't judge a person by their stature.
Right. Chip, he's a very nice man.
Fran can cook. I've had a brownies before.
Big pilot.
I have a process question,
sir.
Okay, can I just make a right turn?
Sure, go.
So when you...
Yeah, I had my turn.
Here's a real question.
When you have something that's brand new and you're trying to take it to the people that can make decisions on the state level, what is your process? Where do you start? How do you get people... How do you propagate that idea into something that can get passed?
Well, I guess it might depend on what the problem is, or what the if it's a geographic issue. Like I represent a manufacturing client over in Cambridge.
Mm-hmm.
So if they had an issue, my initial go-to is going to be somebody from their district, their state rep or their state senator, because he's going to have an interest with his constituents, most likely being employees of these guys.
Right.
Option A. Option B, Michael J. Fox. Do I know somebody in the health community? Do I know someone? Is there a legislator with Parkinson's? In this particular case, there's a legislator whose husband has Parkinson's, and he's been diagnosed for about 18 years. Teresa Gavron, monstrously helpful to us. By contrast, we jump into a little bit, representing the Motion Picture Association, not a lot of actors in the General Assembly, not a lot of directors, producers, but there are some people who have a genuine interest in what we do. And it's just, you know, there's no rhyme or reason. They just happen to be the guy.
Yeah.
Or by contrast, then the last leaf might be, or there might be others I'm not thinking of. Is the guy a member of leadership, or is he a member that's been around long enough where the rest of his colleagues respect the guy? One of my clients is a motorcycle industry council, and I got a farmer friend of mine to do some motorcycle legislation. He's never been on a motorcycle. He can't ride a motorcycle, but he's respected by his peers, and that goes a long way.
That's probably one of the most important parts of your job is identifying who to go after.
People that can help.
Right.
Yeah.
Who's not going to kill us on this one.
What have you said no to? Like someone's approached you and say, "Steve, can you lobby for this?" And you said, "You know what? We're going to pass."
I'm not looking at you for this just because I think you might know about it. But years ago, remember the stripper bill?
Yeah.
The stripper bill.
Oh yeah. Well,
yes. I don't know why I'm looking at you.
It's like a $10 bill, a $20 bill.
Yeah.
They said this is about $10.
Refresh my memory.
The stripper bill.
about 10 or 12 years ago, maybe a little, I don't know. They wanted to curtail what you could do at a strip club.
Bad choice of words.
What you could do at a strip club.
Curtail.
And you had to keep your distance, and you couldn't, whatever. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah, with good reason.
So this guy calls, and it's way before caller ID, and he calls, and I'm like, hey, hello? He goes, yeah, this is, Joe Blow. Talked to you about House Bill 123 or whatever the hell it was. And I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. He goes, oh, it's a stripper bill. And I said, oh, man. I looked it up real quick. I said, buddy, don't worry. Your bill's dead. It was late in the session. It's not going to go anyplace. And he goes, nah, it's going to move. I'm like, nah, it's not going to move. But what's creeping me out is he wanted to pay me in singles. And I thought that was weird.
That's a good joke. That's a good one. I like that.
It's not the singles part, but it's like, yeah, I said no to the guy because it just wasn't.
Yeah.
I turned him down because his bill was already dead.
Did you have anything to do with where we are today with marijuana in Ohio?
I got a pot client as we speak.
Yeah?
Nice. Yes. Mm. Which is in samples? No, I'm just kidding.
No, I'm waiting on Canepa for that.
Good guy, by the way.
Yeah.
Do you know Jim?
Do I know Jim? Yeah, he's been on this podcast half a dozen times.
In his liquor capacity.
In his liquor capacity.
We had coffee last week, and I think he might want to recount on that new job. He wanted to go back to liquor.
Does he want to go back? I'm kind of curious as to how he feels about being
the pot czar.
I call him the pot czar.
He is the pot czar.
Yeah, the pot czar now, because you can't do both.
No. So we were lucky years ago, had a client up in Cleveland that wanted to be a cultivator, so we could help them get their license. And then when I love this part. When you help somebody win and then they fire you, that's always
that's nice.
That's always nice. But that's all right. Job was done. I mean, it's like building a house. You built a house, now get out. Go build another one. So currently we represent the processors. So we take the product from the cultivators, do its thing, and then sell it and then give it to the dispensaries.
Mm-hmm.
I always want to call them distributors. I know that's not right.
Yeah.
So we dump it over to the dispensaries. So we're the middleman.
So you're the middleman. So that was successful.
Yeah, we're still working. We still need Jim's help a little bit.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I mean,
he's understanding, kindness and understanding.
Mm-hmm. We have a ways to go with some of the minutia in respects to marijuana.
Yeah, it's kind of like the general. Well, the thing that was passed by the the voters back in November was more of a big picture generalization, and you say, well, that's a great idea. Or bad and whatever, but we got to fine tune this a little bit, and we're in the fine tuning stage.
Gotcha.
And how we fine tune for processors, and how we fine tune for dispensaries, and how we fine tune for cultivators.
Well, if Canepa, can do for pot too. What he did for liquor in Ohio, then we're in great shape.
I've told my processors that, frankly, I can't think of a better person to do it.
Yeah.
He's an absolutely terrific person.
He is a good guy, and he likes a challenge.
Yeah,
I know that. Yeah. And this is a big one.
Right,
so. Yeah, he's due to come back here and talk about it in length.
Columbus is going to be like a pot destination. People all over from the country are going to come here to get Canepa's green.
Well, he was joking about samples, but Canepa would bring samples of little teases of upcoming bottles that were coming to the state. And I don't think he's going to be able to do that with marijuana. So
my liquor client was Diageo.
Okay.
A small liquor concern, as you know.
Yeah, yeah, huge.
Largest in the world. So I'd play golf with those guys, and they'd bring like a truckload, you know, like of little airplane bottles.
Because
you'd be hammered by the end of the, you couldn't see the ground. But I don't think you can do that with pot. Can't do that. So, but yeah, Jim's a good guy, and frankly, if anyone can keep it straight, keep it on the straight and narrow, it's him.
It's going to be him. In all sincerity, I'm very anxious to have him back to talk about that in length, because he's always earnest and honest and funny too. He's a good guy. So,
since we brought it up, I ask you the same question I ask him.
Sure.
So again, as I had cultivators, 5 or 6 years ago, how did the first plant get into Ohio? Where'd the first plant come from?
My buddy Carlos.
Yeah, probably. It's illegal to transport across state lines. So I said, Jim, I go, just out of curiosity, where'd the first plant, where'd we get that? Because Immaculate Conception.
Yeah.
It just showed up.
It just blew over.
Where'd we get that?
So seeds aren't, you can't bring seeds in?
Can't transport. Federal crime.
I didn't know that.
It's still a class one narcotic.
I thought if it was seed form, it was okay.
No, it's still class one narcotic.
What if you had locally grown?
What if you just kind of accidentally drop something?
Right.
It's like Johnny Appleseed.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. It's stranger than fiction, but anyhow.
Yeah, I find the whole scenario fascinating. I'm not a big pot guy. I'm a bourbon guy.
Yeah.
Pot's never been my thing per se.
Yeah, me either. It makes me nervous.
Does it make you? It's supposed to make you the other way.
It makes me paranoid. I stopped in my 20s, dude. I don't smoke.
Everybody keeps saying that. There's different strains. You know, they can pick you up. They can bring you down. They can do this, the other thing. I smoked it for the first time a couple of years ago with a friend of mine, and it was a one hitter. Which is stupid because there's no such thing as one hit off a one hitter. You always take more than one hit off a one hitter. And
gone.
Out.
Yeah.
Science.
I had to tell everybody to leave. Everybody's got to leave because I have to lie down.
And you were at their house.
Kind of embarrassing.
That would have been really strange. No, we were here, but I had to lay down on that couch over there, and I talk about this on stage in my stand-up, but it's the truth, because a lot of my stand-up is steeped in truth. While I was on that couch, I actually saw another one of me on the couch. And there was two of me on the couch, and because I'm polite, I moved over.
Right.
Everyone says.
And I fell flat down on the floor. Yeah. I smacked my head on the ground and like, okay. Yeah. And then he tells me, what did you give me? And he talked about your strains.
Right.
And he's like, dude, that was a strain called White Widow. You know, to which I said, next time, start me off with something easier, like
White Widow.
Soccer mom,
yeah.
Divorced dad,
okay.
Something a little simpler, a little easier to digest.
Middle-aged father,
there
you go.
2 years away from retirement, whatever the case might be. But yeah, so I find the whole thing fascinating and interesting, and I know I could get a marijuana card because I have.
Well, wait till September. You won't need it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
September, everybody, you won't need a car.
Well, I think that's right as it stands right now, It's full rec. They don't call it rec. It's adult use, I think it's the official term.
Yeah, adult use. That's better than that full
is,
rec.
That is fun. Yeah, but you can go in but you can grow your own, depending on how.
I know.
How many? Six plants?
Six plants.
Six plants per person in the household.
Cut down from 12 to 6. I'm like, okay.
Right. That's a lot of
six plants.
Six
plants. I'm going to grow one, maybe.
Yeah.
I can't even get tomatoes to grow.
Seriously, right.
Yeah, right.
I've had a brown patch of grass up in the front yard for 15 years. I'm going to grow pot.
You're going to be so straight.
Not that I know, but people tell me it's actually quite hard to grow.
I believe it. Yeah.
It is quite difficult.
It's a skill set.
I learned this from my processors.
Clients.
Right. Yeah. So that's what they tell me.
Let me dig a little deeper, because I do sincerely find you to be a very clever, interesting guy. What's your background? Where are you from?
Newark.
Newark.
Yeah, just down the road.
Newark.
Newark, Ohio. My parents still live there.
Yeah?
Yeah, so go.
I mean, and are they happy that their son is a lobbyist?
My mom thinks I'm a piano player in a whorehouse.
you've been tricking her for years.
Yeah, honestly, you could ask my parents, what is it? And they probably would say lobbyist. And if you said to my parents, well, so what does that mean?
What would they say?
No idea. Absolutely no idea.
You say that to people, he's a lobbyist, and everybody goes, oh. Why you say, oh? And I go, I don't know. Yeah. Don't they backdoor deals for shit?
You can't. But lobbyists are like salesmen. I mean, but unlike leaving the showroom with a new car or a washing machine or a dishwasher or whatever you're buying, lobbyists are selling ideas and concepts. And what believe it or not, no one will believe it, but I swear to goodness it's true. The one thing lobbyists can't do is lie. Because as soon as I tell Senator Smith X, it's a bold-faced lie, no longer in his office. I can't. Yeah. You're known as the guy that can't tell the truth. So outside the building, we lie all the time, at least to each other. But inside, you start lying to elected officials, man, you're sunk. You just can't do it.
It's done.
Yeah, because you're known as that guy.
So it's based on trust. Relationship. Yeah.
It has to be. And part of the problem that brings into it is what we said here in Ohio with term limits. You've only got 4 years, 6 years. The term limits are 8, but you've only got 4 to 6 years. You know, they come in as a freshman, like a freshman in high school, with no juice. So their sophomore year, it's a legislator that's getting on a committee that you can use. There's a vice chairman or maybe a chairman someplace. And by his third term, but then all of a sudden you got to start over with a new batch coming in. So it's really quite a juggling act to get somebody you can trust, get somebody with juice, and try to get something accomplished.
Well, you've been doing it for 35 years. I'm going to have to go out on a limb here and say that you enjoy it.
Yeah, I do. I don't know if I use this joke, but it's not the kind of job your high school guidance counselor tells you about.
No. In fact, my next question is, what type of person is this job suited for?
A lot of lawyers are hanging around. I'm not, but... people with no family or friends or no personality.
All the things that you are,
yeah. Alcoholics.
Smokers.
You do family, friends, you have personality.
What's kind of fun, I mean, if you're passionate, and there are a handful of people down there that are extraordinarily passionate for what they lobby, whether it's the auto dealers or the healthcare folks.
Mm-hmm.
And the guys, by simple example, that lobby for Children's Hospital here in Columbus, are extraordinarily passionate about children's health. Mm-hmm. And that's perfect. And then throw myself under the bus, there's guys like me who are just looking for a paycheck. It's not that I'm not passionate about Michael J. Fox or my clients, but there are people who are industry specific that are just all into it. So who becomes a lobbyist? Anybody. It's I've seen from marketing guys to lawyers to just political science guys like me.
All right, so if you weren't a lobbyist for the past 35 years and you go back to that moment when you were bartending and talked to Greg Lushka, where do you think you would have wound up?
Good question. You know, I don't know. It's hard to tell. I probably would have gone to law school.
Yeah?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's similar. And my other favorite lobbying joke is people go, do you know what it says? Are you a lawyer? And the response is, I wrote it. Don't tell me what it says. I wrote the law. But knowing how to read legislation, it was please. You know how to read it, and it's kind of fun. I used to say, to your point earlier, that what was fun about working in government, working and being a lobbyist in government affairs, is you could see at 9 o'clock in the morning what would make the 6 o'clock news.
Okay,
and that was kind of cool. Now they don't have to. If they do, I don't watch it. But you know at 9:35 would happen at 9 o'clock,
right?
Thanks to the internet. But knowing, again, Michael J. Fox is an easy one. Knowing that you actually did something worthwhile for someone, that's pretty cool. You know, getting a tax break for an oil company really doesn't touch your heart.
No. So you've had
you did your job.
You've had Michael J. Fox being an example, and Parkinson's, and taking 18 months to get what you wanted to get done. So you do get personal satisfaction out of the job. Yeah. I don't see how you could be doing something for 35 years and not get some sort of personal satisfaction.
I told one of my clients, and I'll say this in a braggadocious way, but I don't recall.
Ooh, good word.
Yeah. Braggadocious.
Braggadocious. Like it.
I'm going to use that more.
Write that down.
That's lobbyist in me talking. That's big words.
Nice. Braggadocious.
I don't recall walking away from an issue ever with nothing. Mm. I'm not saying I always got exactly what I wanted, but I always got at least a piece of something. Yeah, it's not, you know, you can get the Hall of Fame hitting singles and doubles, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let me be selfish for a moment and ask, because you hinted that you work for the Motion Picture Association here in Ohio, and what are you doing? Because, you know, John's a filmmaker, I'm a filmmaker, Hansberry wants to be an Uber driver in
an
film.
Actor.
Yeah.
Chip's a filmmaker. You know, we as filmmakers, you know, what how has it changed and how is it improving as far as what are you trying to do to make Ohio a more attractive place?
Well, everyone's favorite, obviously, is the motion picture tax credit.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, and clearly I should know this, but I think it was at 40 or 50 and it's now at 75. So we just picked up 25 or 35 million in the last budget for it to increase.
Correct.
And I think it was a 25 million guarantee with an extra 10 million. If they didn't spend it someplace else, it would come over to us.
Mm-hmm.
So we're always looking to increase the tax credit options. But one of the things about, and it's kind of died down a little bit, but when you look at content, that Ohio is a very conservative state, a very right-leaning state, and there are some people who lean further right than that.
Right.
Who want to curtail what we say and do and how we say and do it. So making Ohio continue to be a movie-friendly state. And if you look at it, I mean, there's some great movies been made here. Whether from Shawshank, to all the Marvel comics, all the Marvel stuff in Cleveland, to Rain Man. I mean, Ohio has a rich history of the movies, and we just want to make sure it stays that way.
Well, yeah, you're right, a rich history of the movies. So you would think having that rich history of movies that and that precedent, having, you know, big movies, that they would continue to improve the odds of getting more movies based on that. Or do they just rest on those laurels?
No, they're working on it. I'll tell you, circling back, where we get a lot of help is the governor. The governor is a huge movie guy. Loves the movies and loves going to the movies. They're planning for the 250th anniversary of the nation, which I'm sure has some kind of fancy title. I don't know what it's called.
Will they be alive then?
It's 2 years from now.
Oh, good.
So there's hope.
Better be.
There's hope.
You got a shot.
Better be, John.
If nothing, we have hope. That's right. They're doing 100 days of Ohio Goes to the Movies.
Oh.
So, yeah, so they're looking at the Clark Gables, the Doris Days, Jonathan Winters, Bob Hopes, you know, all the people that came from Ohio. And to celebrate those, along with another client of mine, is all the theaters. So as we combine all this together to continue to get back to your point, to promote movies and movie making in Ohio.
Hmm. Okay.
Nice.
All right.
So the governor's not going to go out that far on a limb, Ohio Goes to the Movies, which is going to be a cornerstone of the celebration. Without a keen interest in the industry.
I didn't know that the governor was a huge movie fan. That's a nice little piece of trivia.
Loves going to the theaters, I've been told.
Nice. What theater does he go to?
I can't answer that.
Studio 35.
I don't know.
It's the by the way, the Dodger Rand's Bicentennial.
I was going to say that.
The what?
Dodger Rand?
D-O-D-R-A-N-S. Dodger Rand's Bicentennial. 250.
That's not real.
That's what Wikipedia says.
He might be
pronouncing
it
incorrectly, but that's what he's reading.
Wikipedia.
We can't counter that because I don't have any clue.
Yeah, we can't.
I would not lie in these quarters. Our relationship is built on trust.
Absolutely. You never lied to me. I've never known you to lie.
So as a lobbyist, does your attention ever get focused? I mean, everything you do is for Ohio. Do you focus on certain cities? From a time to time?
We got a little bit of city business as well. We do some stuff. I do some environmental cleanup stuff, which are more city-based. The state of Ohio, one of my clients is a water guy and is looking for water funding, where the state, depending on what he wants, doesn't do water funding, but the cities and municipalities do. Most of my work has been done here in Ohio, but like I said, I did the Michael J. Fox stuff in South Carolina, along with other pieces of legislation down there. Can probably work in most of the southern states. Just a fortunate previous client allowed me to work multi-states on their behalf.
Okay, so you bring up an interesting point. You're not just a lobbyist for the state of Ohio. You right. are a lobbyist. You can go and work anywhere you want.
Right, and again, I honestly enough, I go back to crediting the Motion Picture Association for that because there's one of me in almost every state.
Sure.
So I can call my buddy in South Carolina, my buddy in North Carolina, Tallahassee, wherever the case may be, Austin, and say, hey, man, I've got this issue. Who do I talk to? And they go, well, Senator Smith or Jones, or off we go.
Mm-hmm. So you're the only guy in Ohio
for motion pictures? Mm-hmm. Yes. All right. From the studio standpoint, yes.
Gotcha. You represent them.
Right. And from the theater standpoint also, yes.
Got it. Yeah. Cool.
So AMC, is that a good bet? Can I
that's a good guy, yeah. They're good guys.
Can I buy that stock and hope yes, for the best?
Yes, yes. Okay, good. You should support all my clients. I just gave you a list of things you should buy.
I just watched the GameStop show. So I'm really looking for a strong investment.
You're looking for a quick win.
Yeah, there you go.
In and out. All right, I'm getting multiple sources of information here. The semi quincentile. All right.
The quincentennial, that thing.
Greg's real-time research. Yes.
This is from Osbeck. He heard me say something silly about a dodorous whatever.
Yeah.
Osbeck sent that to you.
What's that? Are you ready for this? That sounds somewhat pedantic.
Pedantic.
Pedantic. That's another good word.
Yes.
Another
good word. Two good words and one podcast.
Yeah, I'm just accusing Osbeck of being pedantic.
Oh, nice.
Every time somebody says pedantic. All I can think of is Woody Allen.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It does sound like he put that in there. Yeah,
you can't pronounce it without sounding like him.
It's very, very, very pedantic.
That's right.
Pour me some more whiskey.
I just watched Annie Hall last night.
It's hilarious.
So I got Woody Allen on the brain. So would you say things have improved from a motion picture standpoint in Ohio from the years that you've been doing this?
Well, absolutely.
Yeah.
When you look, you know, you guys' memory's better than mine because I think it's fuzzy. But imagine what it would be like today if you're trying to film in Ohio with no tax credit at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, almost impossible.
And there are some legislators who still don't quite get that. They say we should just get rid of the tax credit. You know, so you don't understand. If there is no credit, they'll film somebody else.
Right, they'll go someplace else.
I can make any place look like I can make Detroit look like Youngstown. Yeah. And I can make Youngstown look like Detroit.
Right.
Yeah.
So when you're hiring carpenters, dry cleaners, caterers, hotel rooms. And they go, it's temporary. They're only going to be here for a little bit of time. Go, yeah. Well, let's have them temporarily here rather than Detroit.
Right.
Right.
Temporarily here rather than Pittsburgh.
And the thing is like, if this is a pro-union state, you need the money to be able to help productions out to have union talent and union crews.
Right.
And they're not.
Even non-union. Yeah. This is a pro-job state.
Yeah.
If this means I'm selling more lumber, great. I don't care if it's union or not.
Sure.
Sell more hotel rooms, more caterers, more dry cleaning, more. Insert whatever.
You're
better equipped to answer those questions than me, but
you make a great point. Why not get as many of those gigs as possible coming through the state? So what if they're temporary?
There was a guy, Ivan Schwartz, up in Cleveland. I think John knows him. Now, Ivan did a phenomenal job for the industry. And Cleveland has just a terrific work. And Columbus is coming along. Cincinnati's fantastic. So, historically, and I can see the look on your face, everyone looks at Cleveland.
I know.
They think film in Ohio. Yeah. They think film in Cleveland. Not so much anymore.
Or Cincy, yeah.
Or Columbus.
Columbus is doing great work.
I know.
I think there's a little something going on here in Columbus that we have an interest in.
Yeah, we do. As I said, when I said asked the question initially, yeah. I said I have a selfish interest. Because
what movie is that?
That would be Down to the Felt, John.
Okay.
Down to the Felt being shot completely in Columbus with Columbus people and using Columbus sources. And,
I know those
and
guys.
Bringing economy into the Columbus, Ohio area.
Yeah. Yes.
So, you know, you bring in room nights. Bring in restaurants. You bring in...
Uber drivers.
Hansberry so wants to be an Uber driver. I may have to.
6'9" background extras.
Yeah, there you go.
John Osbeck, listen to me.
Yes, my question
actors.
Was a bit self-serving,
but it's
not just for our film.
No,
we want Columbus to be the city for the next film and the film after that and the film after that. I mean, that's part of our mission.
Right. And Columbus wants the same thing. And so from a statewide perspective, that's... my responsibility.
Well, are there any other perks besides money? You know what I mean? Like you say, you could film here or Detroit or St. Louis. I mean, is that the bottom line?
Yeah, you get a selfie with a leading man.
Right?
I mean, you can't. I could turn Youngstown into a lot of things, but I can't turn it into a bayou.
Right.
Right.
I got you.
I can't, nor can I make New Orleans look like New York.
Right, right, right. Yeah,
close. But so I mean, there's some practical.
Sure. But I'm saying, like, to draw someone, say, from Detroit or whatever. I mean, money is it, basically, right?
Well, that's not, I don't know if it's all money. I mean, I think there's an education here. I mean, I think sometimes people, I'll use Columbus as an example. They don't look hard enough at the infrastructure that we have in Columbus and what we have throughout the entire city to see, go, oh, I didn't realize that this was here, that was there, and this was here, and that was there. And et cetera, et cetera.
You can do everything cradle to grave from they want to film me to post.
Right.
Here in Columbus.
Yes, you can.
And not a lot of people know that. Some of the post facilities here in Columbus are phenomenal.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking about a place on Broad Street that's just great, does great work. But
yeah, I can't remember that. I always think that it's to bring up the awareness that there are people here that are qualified to be on crews and qualified to edit and do post production.
Mm-hmm. Awareness.
They're here. Because I've worked in the industry in this town for over 30 years, and I've worked with people that are union, non-union, that they're solid, man. They're really solid. But we need to tell New York and L.A., make them aware that the people are here to be able to do this work.
You know what that's called? Ready for this?
Yeah.
That's called lobbying.
Right.
John's a lobbyist.
I just did a lobbyist movie.
We need to lobby these guys and bring them around.
You got a new career.
See how we bring this all around?
Yeah, man.
You come full circle. So would you do a lot of your lobbying outside of Ohio then? For Ohio? In this specific case or not necessarily?
Is there a contract on the table?
I got a couple questions here I want to ask. What I mean, like, because like you're saying, you're going to go to New York and try to get these guys to come here.
Right. But hopefully they only bring, like, so you say you have a director that comes in from L.A. or wherever, and they want to shoot here. They're going to bring their keys from either L.A. or New York, but they want to know that they have the infrastructure
Absolutely.
Of other people to come in and can fill those spots.
And that's where I think our history of what Cleveland's done in the past, what Cincy's doing, what we're doing here in Columbus, is making that mark. Columbus is light years from where it was. Maybe it was recently 5 or 7 years ago.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'll agree with that.
And it's just an ongoing process.
So when you said, you know, you coined yourself at one point as a salesman, you are. You're selling Ohio.
We're selling us.
You're selling us, selling Ohio.
Because from the movie business, it's just weird. You know, so we're going to write a script today, put it on a shelf. Somebody's going to buy it for $1 million. Rewrite it for another $1 million, and then never see it again. So we need to figure out a way to get somewhere to get Columbus in that mix.
Yeah,
and say, so, you know, we can do this.
Yeah.
We don't have to rewrite it 12 times to have the cityscape that you want. We have it already.
Gotcha. Let me ask a couple more questions before we start to wrap things up. I mentioned earlier that I was thinking of titling this. This podcast, you know, the OG of influencers. Do you think that today's influencers on social media would be good lobbyists?
No.
Why?
They're too concerned about themselves. And I'm not a big social media person, but yeah, they're more intrigued about the me. So even on my worst day, I still work for somebody. I'm not the boss.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the one thing I know, I'm on my best day, I'm the help, and the influencers don't. They think they're never the help man. They're the boss always.
They're the boss. It's an interesting point. Interesting.
And I've got 132 guys down at the State House that think they're the bosses. And most days they are.
Yeah.
Because I'm collecting votes every day.
Uh-huh. How much longer are you going to do it?
I don't know. Until it gets tiring. Until I can't walk anymore.
Yeah.
It's fun, kind of fun.
I mean, what else would you do if you weren't doing this?
I have no marketable job skills. So.
You were a bartender. That sounds familiar.
You were a bartender. Yeah,
it's been a while. It's been a while. I think I could be a starter at a golf course, I think.
That would be a great job.
Yeah, it wouldn't be bad. Yeah. No, it's kind of fun. My son works for the State House.
Okay.
So I'm not sure if he's going to stick around. He's going to learn to love it or hate it.
Is he going
to
follow Dad's footsteps, do you think?
He's probably smarter than I am.
Yeah.
It doesn't take much, but I'm sure he's smarter than I am.
Uh-huh. Nice.
But no, that why quit? It's kind of neat. Again, I told Osbeck that, you know, they call it the revised code for a reason. So I want to make sure the stuff that I revise sticks around as long as it can.
Gotcha.
And it's kind of fun. It is rewarding to know that you did something, even if it's for a lousy client.
So you can look back on these 35 years and say, I was responsible for
that. I did that.
I was responsible for this.
Yeah, I did that.
Yeah, I had a little hand in that.
Yeah.
That's right. A great legacy.
Yeah. Right, it's not bad. It's
awesome. Yeah.
It's not bad.
Not
yeah.
too shabby.
Could be worse.
You were on Whiskey Business, you know.
Which is the highlight. My resume is getting completely rewritten.
That's it.
Yes. Move that to the top.
At the top, baby.
At the top.
Move it to the top.
Or maybe
list.
It'll drag you back down. I don't know.
I actually could not get any lower. So this is really. Move it up.
Well, it's a step up for us. How about that, okay? I mean, yes. After this, now that I know that DeWine likes movies, I want the governor on. Right,
let's go. We'll do it.
Governor DeWine.
He'd have a blast.
I think he would.
Yeah,
I think he would. Definitely.
Yeah, he's a very nice man.
Well, I tell you who has agreed to come on the podcast, and it's shame on me for not following up on it, is former Mayor of Columbus, Michael Coleman.
Oh, good guy also.
Hey, yep.
Good guy.
That's a good guy.
Keen insights into a lot of different areas.
Yeah.
Mike has seen how the sausage is made.
Yes, he has. And he said that he would love to come on the podcast. So.
I worked on his city council spots way, way back in the day.
Oh, good golly.
Yeah, that goes way back.
I was an assistant camera at that time.
You were in grade school at the time.
Dude, that was back in the early 90s.
Is that when they were still shooting film?
We were shooting 16mm. I was an assistant camera.
There you go. I told you.
Yeah, worked for a media group.
Yeah. The media group?
The media group, yes.
Where was that located?
That used to be off Riverside Drive.
Yeah, I thought.
That was a Democratic House.
Well, I sincerely appreciate you spending some time with us tonight.
Thank you.
I appreciate what you're doing for us selfishly as filmmakers
here
in Ohio. I know you've taken a lot of outside of your job steps to help us, and I sincerely appreciate
my pleasure.
That. Thank
it's
you,
my
man,
pleasure.
Because that means you believe, and I think that's a key word, belief in what people are trying to do creatively in this industry here in Ohio. And it's not just me, and it's not just John, it's not just Chip, and it's not even the wannabe an Uber driver Greg.
Yeah,
there's a shit ton of creative people living here just in Columbus, Ohio, let alone the state of Ohio, that need that support to continue to grow.
Well, I'm happy to help, and always look forward to the opportunity.
Well, I appreciate it, man. And we're gonna wrap things up. Hope you enjoyed the bourbon.
I did very much.
Yeah. The guest bottle, the TX.
I warmed up to it.
Yeah, did you?
Yeah.
It's pretty smooth,
it
actually.
Happens.
It's
that
really
happens
smooth.
As the more you start to drink
it's
it.
That's true. I want to say even I got a taste of a little coconut.
A little coconut.
Really? Yeah, I know. Interesting.
Yeah, I think it helped to have the ice in there. You know?
Vanilla?
I picked up a little vanilla. Yeah, I said vanilla on the onset. Yeah. And definitely the pecan is in there. Does anybody know what a Brazos pecan is? It's a Texas pecan. Anybody?
Mm-hmm. Brazos is a bull,
Brazos?
Right?
Yeah, Brazos.
It's like Aspect, do you know?
Is it like a south of the border kind of?
No.
Don't know. Brazos? I will say this much, that a Texas bourbon is not a Kentucky bourbon. I mentioned that earlier. And if I had to compare this to Kentucky bourbon, I would say this is closer to a Maker's Mark.
And I
know you can't agree with me because you have no idea you're without, as far as...
This is a blend, right?
Yeah, this is not a blend.
Maker's
they have a blended whiskey, too.
It's good. Maker's bites me a little harder.
Yeah, I don't know. This is our...
That was terrific. Thank you so much.
Our 234th whiskey on the show, by the way. I keep track.
No evidence of that, by the way. They're all gone.
It's just, you know.
We have a different bottle every episode. So 234.
I'm glad I brought wine and not whiskey. Because
I like wine. You know, I enjoy the wine. Thank you. It was very kind of you. You didn't have to bring anything. It's high marks for walking in, and you got to sign our barrel.
Thank my mother in Newark for that one.
Yeah. Oh, nice. Now, will your mother listen to something like this?
She would. Yes.
Would she listen
to it? Yes. She fall asleep. She's 86, but.
Mine's would she know how to find it? But can she find it though?
Well, at the same time, we might fall asleep.
Oh, okay. Yeah, mine's 87, and she says, "What are you doing tonight?" So we have a podcast tonight. She goes, "Oh, you're still doing that?"
She's still here in town. She
no, she's down in Florida.
Oh, bless her heart.
Yeah, she's down in Palm Harbor, Florida. Yeah.
No, you and your friends have fun, Dino.
Yeah.
Honey.
Oh, you're right.
You're still doing that.
Hey, Dino. A Brazos pecan is it is a Texas pecan pie. Which means it is bigger and gooier and richer than any other real deal out there.
Come
on. Chock full of fresh Texas pecans,
harvested from the banks of the Brazos River.
Of course.
Okay. Then nestled well, into luscious layers of homemade goodness.
Born in Texas.
So there you go. Back to you, Nito.
Thank you, Chip. Thank you, Chip. Thank you, Chipopedia.
Well, I thought I'd pull a Greg and do real-time research.
And that's nice. Find the real
And find the real answer.
All right. So anything else you want to say before we close up some of the business before we say goodbye?
Yeah, I'll knock out the business if it's all right.
Because I got a couple things I want to plug upcoming here on Whiskey Business.
It's the podcast not so much about whiskey as it is one with whiskey. Thanks for subscribing on your favorite podcasting app. Rate, review, and share it with all your podcast-loving friends. Mm-hmm. Maybe you have someone in Ohio who likes films, like Governor DeWine.
Right.
Maybe you just pass it on to him.
Maybe
or
at
her.
DeWine, maybe. We'll do at DeWine.
at Mikey.
Yeah,
Fran.
Yeah.
Netflix and chill.
We joke, but that'd be a huge. I would be honored to have the governor on this podcast.
I think he would get a kick out of it.
Happen,
yeah.
Let's make it happen.
And not intimidated at all by whatever secret, protection people were behind.
I know, right?
It's gonna be some dogs in your house, probably.
Oh goodness! Facebook, YouTube, Whiskey Business with Dino Tripodis, and Whiskey Business Podcast.
Don't forget Evergreen.
An Evergreen podcast, our parent company.
Podcast network.
Thank you, guys.
Check out the last week's podcast with our good buddy Dan Swartout, the mayor of Swartytown. Next week on the podcast, Martin Kennedy will be joining us. He is with a Bua Irish whiskey that has birthed here in Columbus, mm-hmm. Ohio, but obviously made in Ireland.
Love the Irish.
You love the Irish. Well, Martin, Martin,
too, you know.
Martin is the real deal from Ireland, and I just buckle up, boys. Yeah. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay, then. So a little self-indulgence.
Yeah, indulge away, man.
So if you're listening to this now, it's probably Monday. On Wednesday, Dina will be our guest on Edith Keeler's Edge of Forever Bar and Grill. Please go there and check it out. We're doing the Mudd's Women episode of the original Star Trek series.
Yes.
So if you want to see how funny Dino is talking about,
Wait, the what's episode?
Star Trek. The Mudd's Pimps. Women.
Mudd's Women.
On the original Star Trek?
On the original Star Trek.
The original series.
Yeah.
Well, I know I've seen it.
I'm sure you have.
He was the only character that appeared on, repeated an appearance on Star Trek as the character of Harry Mudd.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
So, Trouble with Tribbles.
No,
he wasn't.
Arquette Fenton Mudd, who was on Mudd's Women and I Mudd. Remember that?
He was shipping.
But
three
the Trouble with Tribbles is my other favorite episode. Yeah. But that one's down the line.
The protagonist in that.
No, but that guy's voice sounds like his though. He's
gonna force me to research this when I get home. I get a visual.
Anyway,
on this guy.
I'll not. You should check out their podcast. It's a lot of fun. If you like Star Trek, you'll love their podcast.
Hilarious.
That's why I was so excited.
Edith Keeler's
to be on it.
Edge of Forever Bar and Grill.
It's good stuff
on YouTube.
All right. My thanks to Steve Diamond. My thanks to Greg Hansberry on the audio side, John Whitney on the video side, and Chip Cosell on all sides.
Woo-hoo!
Thank you, Dino. And our guest, Steve Diamond. Thank you so much, buddy. I appreciate it.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunities, guys. Thanks for the bourbon.
So, hey, everybody else, thank you so much for tuning in to Whiskey Business. We appreciate it, whether you do it on the audio side or the YouTube video side. I sincerely appreciate it. We thank you so much. We've been here for a little bit, not tonight and through the years. And the listenership keeps growing, and that's because of you. So thank you. And until the next bottle, see ya.
Science! Hello, podcast fans. Want to get weird with us? Come check out the Mad Scientist Podcast. We are a weekly show that looks at the history, philosophy, and hard facts behind your biggest paranormal questions.
Did the government really pay for a psychic spy program?
Yes!
Is it true that surgery got its start in grave robbing?
Yes!
Can a roller coaster really kill you?
Legally, we can't say so for sure, but sometimes... Yes!
Woo!
Join myself, Chris Cogswell, and my co-host, Marie Mayhew, as we examine the science, philosophy, and history behind the strange and unusual. All to discover what's possible and plausible versus what's, well, just made up. Check us out wherever you find your favorite podcasts. The Mad Scientist Podcast.